Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
So we stand together for freedom. We stand together for patriotism. And we proudly stand for our glorious nation under God. I want to thank you all for being here. This is a beautiful, big celebration. Actually, to be honest, it's even bigger than we had anticipated. So I want to thank you very much, and God bless America. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
On the circle bleep of the national anthem continues. Mud at Night, Red Sox Review, whatever you want to call it. We're here until midnight tonight. Your phone calls here in this hour, it's 617-779-7937. May get to some of the Patriots stuff later on in this hour. But the story continues to be amazingly the national anthem, the president, and the National Football League. And this thing is just Tomasi and I will be in tomorrow from 2 to 6 in for Dale and Keith. Dale has got some emergency oral surgery happening. I don't know if it's a mole. I don't know, but he's not in tomorrow. And then Keith is sunning and funning somewhere in the tropics. So you get Tomasi and I, who from the beginning of this issue have been on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the anthem and certainly when it comes to the president and politics here in this country. And for me, it was pretty simple. Even before the president, as Tomasi calls it, co-opted this issue and made it his own, it always bothered me that a guy like Colin Kaepernick was the guy kneeling in front and center at this thing. A guy who clearly has issues with authority, went on social media and painted police officers as slave owners, wore a Fidel Castro T-shirt around, wore pig socks at practice. His opinions on police in this country, I don't think jive with the majority of the opinions of people here in this country. For him to be the initial kneeler, the voice at this thing, even though he's done some great things since then, from money donations and other time commitments, I get all that. But he should not have been the guy front and center. And when things really got hot, when it came to the anthem and Colin Kaepernick, he was nowhere to be found. He shut the entire thing down. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. Said he wanted to play, but really didn't want to play. Then tried to play, but wanted money to play, and blah, 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 blah. That's where this whole circle bleep started, way back with Colin Kaepernick. And since then, the thing has taken on about seven different, roles and situations here when it comes to the anthem and Trump. Because initially, when Kaepernick and players were kneeling for the anthem, people didn't like it. But people, this is what bothers me, and what Tomasi and I will get into tomorrow, I'm sure. And we can get into tonight at 617-779-7937. What bothers me is that I think there has been this response to the president and the way that he has chosen to handle this as a major issue for he and the presidency, because he knows it works for him. As he told Jerry Jones, according to the Wall Street Journal a week ago, this is a winning issue for me. He reportedly told the Cowboys owner. So before that, players were kneeling and the fans didn't like it. And it has been pretty consistent now for a couple of years. It has never been like 70% or 80%, but pretty consistently between 53% and 54% and 60% of Americans, whether they've been polled by AP or Gallup or whatever entity has done it, it's varied a little bit, but it's always a little bit more than majority of people don't ever think it's appropriate to kneel during the anthem. And this is before Trump. This is before the Eagles today. This is before anything else, when players were kneeling. And I'm going, and this has been lost in the shuffle here, because it should have been pretty simple. The players were kneeling. Fans didn't like it. Trump took the thing over. And then from there, what I think has happened in a lot of cases, and I would include the Eagles situation today in this conversation, the players have now taken the kneeling not to be for their cause, whether it be police brutality or better inner city schools or pick your cause, because there have been many causes along the way for the players who have been kneeling. They have at times picked and been able to pick and choose what they are kneeling for. But at the real core of it, what I think happened today and what has happened across the NFL is the players are so pissed off at the president because they view the president as co-opting this issue as his own.
Get that son of a bitch off the field.
And they view the president as now making them the enemy, that the kneeling and the anti-anthem, act is not the right word, but the anti-anthem approach and wanting the freedom to kneel down during the anthem, had now at times it is not anything to do with a cause. Now it really has nothing to do with a cause.
Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country.
It's about the president, and it's about how they feel about the way he has treated this issue. And so for every John Tomasi quote where he comes on here and says the league is this is one of Tomasi's favorites, he'll use it 10,000 times tomorrow between 2 and 6. That the league has draped itself in the flag, or that Donald Trump has draped himself in the flag. You know what the players have done? Many of them? They've taken the kneeling to be their stance against the president. Instead of making it mean something, instead of actually having a cause to stand behind here, their cause is anti-Trump. Their cause is anti-president. So they kneel as a shot and a middle finger towards the president. That's it's become for a lot of these players. That's what it became today. I mean, they don't like the policy of the president. They don't like the president. They weren't going to go. And of course the president disinvited him. Of course he did. This is a guy a year ago. Excuse me. Tom Brady doesn't show up at the White House. I forget what his official excuse was, Kyle. If you can look that up and see exactly. I think it was, you know, other things. And I'm quoting my things, as Donald Trump would say. But it's clear, like, he doesn't want to publicly now endorse the president because of how he thinks it affects his family and his wife Giselle and his sisters. He was once Team Trump, and now publicly, privately I have no idea, but publicly he's bailed on this president. Completely bailed. And so Tom Brady, the MVP of the Super Bowl, going to be the greatest quarterback of all time, doesn't show up at the White House. The president of the United States doesn't mention Tom Brady.
So that was back when his mom was sick. So he came out and said that he didn't want to go because he wanted to spend time with his mom. That was
okay.
That was his public reason for not going.
And by the way, that might be true. But the way the president took it when he did not show up there at the White House, the way the president took it was, it's a shot at me. And so you had him, you'll find that, where's Danny Amendola? Who also I don't think was there that day. And he mentions like 10 different players. He doesn't mention Brady.
By Danny Amendola. Where's Danny?
He doesn't mention Brady. Where are you, Danny? Imagine not mentioning the quarterback of the Super Bowl winning team who has this epic fourth quarter comeback. He doesn't utter Brady or the quarterback or TB12 or what he did. He's talking about the comeback and Belichick and Amendola because those guys, he thought Amendola was there and he wasn't. Of course he disinvited the Eagles today. Like, this is not a surprise. It's a typical power Trump move. I'm fired? What? I quit. You can't fire me. I quit. Costanza 101. And you get to this crap today where he's it's a bigger ceremony than we thought. And he gets so caught up in this stuff. It was embarrassing. It turned into this dumb protest thing where guys kneeling and yelling at the president. I'm not sure what it was supposed to be. But it should have just canceled the whole thing. And maybe the result is that we stop sending teams to the White House. Which I guess is fine with me, but I always thought it was not supposed to be about politics. And I know Theo Epstein didn't go because the president at certain different times. And obviously Tim Thomas did not go. But SI did this big thing, you know, sort of critical of Thomas a couple of years ago when he didn't go, saying, oh, it's not political. That's not really the tack they took today. Where the players are being lauded for this huge stance they're taking against the president. Like Tim Thomas, that wasn't seen as some great stance, was it? It was seen as, oh, you let your teammates down. But now, because the liberal media, the majority of the media, liberal as they are, doesn't like Trump, now these guys are heroes. And I appreciate the players who have taken time to do different things to promote their causes. I appreciate that every guy has donated money, every guy who spent time or volunteered or went and spoke somewhere and really put their time and effort into it. I appreciate those guys. I don't have a lot of sympathy or I cannot summon the word courageous for the NFL players who kneel for the anthem or decide not to go to the White House and take a victory lap for it. I can't do it. And that's just my personal opinion. And so am I thrilled at the way Trump handled this today? No. Am I surprised? No. But to sit here and just rag on the president for co-opting the issue and saying, oh, he's only doing this for his political base. Well, no bleep. That's what politicians do. I would argue that the players at this point, many of them, are doing it just to knock the president and just make the president look bad and just take an anti-Trump stance and not for their cause. So as much as it's been co-opted in Tomasi's mind and others' mind by the president, the players now doing the same thing. And so I don't know where it's going. Kirk and I argued about this last week. I like the way the NFL handled it, at least given the other options they had. If the options were keep the rules the same and kneel, stand, whatever. If the options were everybody stand, which the players never would have gone for, and I thought would have a bigger pushback, I thought they found a good medium. It's being criticized today. Dan Wetzel and Alex Reamer and a bunch of other guys that I read this afternoon. They're all being very critical now about the owners and should have done this and should have done that. I was okay with it. But clearly the players aren't. And I'm not sure what what program that the NFL could have come up with. These players are so anti-Trump at this point and so mad at Trump for the way he's handled this that I think it was going to be an issue either way. So it ain't going to be less of an issue. It feels like it'd be more. I don't know how it ends at this point. I have no freaking clue. My gut sort of initial reaction is to tell the players to all stand up and realize that at this point, if they really have causes and things that they want to promote and talk about and support, there are much better ways to do it than to kneel during the national anthem. There are much better ways, whether it's through their own time, their own money, their platform after the game. You stay in the locker room and you explain afterwards why you did it and what you're going to do. Social media, where they a much more powerful message there than kneeling before a game, at least in my mind. As somebody who thinks whether you're playing baseball, football, basketball, should stand during the anthem. It was heartening tonight to see at Fenway Park. It was, you don't always get it, but it was one of those nights where everyone sort of stood and was quiet for the national anthem. When you looked around from the radio booth up here, it was people weren't on their phones. People weren't walking down the aisles with beer and hot dogs. They were paying attention. It was heartening tonight to see in the fourth inning to do this great thing at Fenway Park for as dumb as Queens Caroline is. And they could stop doing it tomorrow, and I would not shed a tear. And when they're losing in the eighth inning, they should never play Sweet Caroline. But they do the Heroes Among Us, which for as bad as Sweet Caroline is freaking great. They honor a military member or somebody in some branch of the military on the Red Sox dugout every, I think it's middle of the third, middle of the fourth inning. And tonight the ovation was great. Kid from, I want to say it was Attleboro. And I wrote down his name, but I threw the papers away because I'm just a dummy. And the response was great. I love that stuff. And I know I don't speak for everybody, but I think that during that 90 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever it is tonight the this a cappella group that was here helping the Red Sox celebrate Jewish Appreciation Night was singing the national anthem, that you stand up and you salute, or if you want to, heart over your head, over your heart, however you want to do it, but you don't kneel, you don't sit, you don't turn your back. And there are plenty of other ways to, especially as an athlete. You're sitting here at Fenway Park, you kneel, you're going to make a scene. You're an athlete with a couple hundred thousand Twitter followers. Some better ways to go about advocating for your cause. And so at the core of it, after this big circle bleep back and forth and you co-opted, no, I did, I still feel the same way I did at the beginning, which is the players should stand. And I feel more strongly about that now, quite frankly, because it's gotten to a point now in our country and with the president that the more you kneel and the more you go against it, the less you are actually promoting whatever your cause is going to be, and the more you are talking about just sort of anti-Trump, his policy on this, and the owners to an extent. 617-779-7937, the phone number. We see guys lining up on the phones. I want a chance to get my thoughts out before we get some of your phone calls here in this hour. John in New Hampshire waiting patiently. John, what do you have?
So, Mutt, I think the one thing you're forgetting to talk about is how many Philadelphia Eagles kneeled all year this year?
I don't think any did. I don't think any. Nope.
It was none.
None.
In fact, last night, Fox News was showing pictures of Philadelphia Eagles kneeling, except it wasn't. It was actually, I think his name is Zach Ertz, who's a white Christian conservative player who was actually praying before the game. And they were showing a picture of that. Trump saw that, and that's right around when Trump sent out his tweet. I think it was baiting by Fox News that caused this all to happen.
No, I saw what you saw today, John. And I think Fox News did a very poor job. And they had to, and by the way, they should have apologized. They did apologize. They tried to make this story today about the Eagles. And look, they were kneeling down. And they're praying before a game. John had the story 1,000% right. I don't think that's what led the president to cancel the trip today. I think what happened was he got wind that there were only going to be a handful of Eagles players and personnel that showed up. It was going to be a terrible optic for the president. And so he said, no, I'm not fired. You're not, you can't fire me. I quit. That the whole Costanza thing. Like he said, no, we're going to do it differently. And he turned it into, in his mind, something that was pro-Trump. We're going to celebrate the national anthem. And he gave a big speech today about what the anthem's about. And you heard him brag there on the open. Good job by Kyle, our producer. Oh, it's bigger than we thought it was going to be, which is a classic Trump line where deep down they bailed out of this thing because it's going to look bad. We wondered last year how many Patriots players were going to go, right? Ended up being a ton. You know, the picture was, it looked fine for Trump because the team went this year, different climate, different Eagles team, I guess. And the thing I haven't got clarification on yet, and we'll get to Kevin and all your phone calls here in a second. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press the spokesman for the president, said today in her mind the way this went down is initially the Eagles said 81 people were going to be there. Then they cut that number down to like 10 or 11 or whatever it was. And she said they were trying to make a political statement by that. If that's true, it's pretty simple. They were. The other part of this could have been that they had to give a certain number of people. I saw this speculated by some people on Twitter this afternoon. So I don't know the correct answer. But it might have been more about the Eagles had to give a broader number early and then a firm number late, and the firm number was just less. And so it wasn't trying to embarrass the president. It was just, hey, this is who's going. And Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles didn't twist anyone's arm to go. And I have no idea if Kraft or Belichick did a year ago, but clearly the Eagles were okay with sending a very small contingent there. The president wasn't. Kevin and Swampscott before the break. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
What's up, Kev?
First thing first, if I can get one little horse thing out of the way here for me.
Sure, go for it. I want to go. It's nighttime. Do what you want. It's our show right now, Kevin.
That's what I'm saying. All right. The Preakness, I believe 2012, I'll Have Another, is one of the greatest calls / races I have ever seen. I hope you can back me up on that somewhat. Of I'll Have Another versus Bodie Meister.
It was a great race. Yeah, Larry Comas had the call. Larry was very into that call. It was an excellent call. The Preakness call, correct?
Yeah, and then he ended up getting scratched, I believe, for the Belmont. But, all right.
Great call by Larry Comas. Does a great job calling those races. But, Kevin, I back you up on that. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. So my brother is singing the national anthem on Thursday for the Red Sox.
Excellent.
He's part of the Boston's Gay Man Chorus, I believe. I can't tell you how many of them there are. I'd say at least plus 20. But I can definitely tell you that he and I see the president differently. I also have a father that was a cop in Boston for 30 years. And so he was, you know, I don't know, I guess I say I feel the support from the president as far as my father's job went. And as far as this kneeling issue goes,
Kevin hung up there. If the point of his call was just to call in and promote the 2000 Preakness call, I'm all for it. I don't know what he was going for, the other stuff. He said his brother's going to be part of the choir on Thursday night. And hopefully, like tonight's anthem, he gets a big cheer, is what I hope. And hopefully the fans are as attentive that night. I don't know where he's going to lose, but he mentioned the Preakness, so he's good with me. Kevin, call back anytime. 617.
I thought for sure he was going to ask something about this week's upcoming race or something, and then he just...
I thought he was going to talk about the Belmont
Preakness.
Or with Gronkowski or, you know, something. But it's the 2012 Preakness. A little plug for Larry Colmus. There you go. 617-779-7937. The phone number will get to your phone calls. Get you up until midnight. It is like an across-the-board, mud-at-night Red Sox review party. Sports Radio, WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The president's position on not just the anthem has been clear, but let's not forget this isn't. There were 80 members of the Eagles organization that RSVP'd and committed to attend this event as recently as Friday, as well as over 1,000 fans of the Eagles organization. And the Eagles are the ones that tried to change their commitment at the 11th hour. And the president, frankly, thinks that the fans deserve better than that. And therefore, we changed the ceremony to be a focus on celebrating our great country.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders earlier today, that not the very last part, but the second to last part is a dead lie. That the president believes that the Eagles fans deserve better. I voted for this president. I'm going to probably vote for him again based on the current landscape of competition for the presidency in 2020. That is a lie. Lie, 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 lie. She can't say it, but here's the reality. Mr. Trump did not want the media to have the picture of the 9 players of the Eagles there. Like the 2 guys from the training staff and 3 players you don't know and a couple of coaches. We weren't going to deal with that, so he said, you stay home. That's what it was about.
That's a lie.
But he's, my guess is at some level he's thrilled it went down this way. Because he's able to hold this thing, and it ends up being a story probably the rest of the week. Because I read some of the columns out there tonight. Holy smokes. There's too many to get into. But there are some national columnists who are out of their minds tonight when it comes to the anthem and Trump, and it's going to be a story that on the next 2 or 3 days.
And we always proudly stand for the national anthem. We always will stand for the national anthem.
Let's go to the mayor in New Hampshire, Mr. or Miss Mayor. What's going on?
How you doing, Matt?
What's up?
So just stick with me here because there's multiple perspectives and layers to this, and I think each angle needs to be attacked in its own unique way.
Go ahead.
First of all, I think we live in America and we should have our freedoms, which is why I think my stance is consistent with this, is that if the players are out on the field, they should stand for the anthem. But I also believe in choice. And I think the NFL instituted the right policy. It's just they lack the foresight to be able to see all of this. And that's why, compared to the NBA, they didn't have a good way of dealing with this. They were just strapped in cash. They wanted to take the money. But they lacked the foresight to be able to see that this could be a problem in the future. And so that's why President Trump, they've been able to gaslight the issue and be able to get fans on his side, regardless of what he says, because his base is going to believe what they're going to believe. And it doesn't matter what he sells them, because he's a good salesman. And he's going to convince them otherwise. He's going to take over the issue, even though I think the issue has been co-opted. Also, I think that, you know, the NFL owners and the players have to go about a systematic way of doing this. And I think both sides fail in terms of bringing each other into the middle and analyzing, okay, what parts of this conversation can we agree upon? Rather than, I think, everyone's going back to their political spectrums and arguing over an issue which has been co-opted over the years. And I personally don't think President Trump's the right vehicle to be doing this, because what he said about John McCain, what he said about the Gold Star family, I don't even think he has the proper respect for the military that he so claims to have. And so I just wanted to get your perspectives on that. I think there's multiple things to this. And, you know, also, I feel that regardless of whoever the president is, he should not be interfering with the decisions of private employers. I don't care if it's President Obama. I don't care if it's Clinton. I don't like the president interfering in the decisions of private employers, and I think that's consistent with what I believe in. I think the players should stand for the anthem, but I don't think President Trump is right to use this platform to bully the NFL into doing what they want us to do. Unfortunately, that's what he's done. He's done that in the past, so it's consistent with his character. It's just I don't like that, you know, as a mechanism for dividing the country.
Mayor, call every anytime you want. I think you said it probably better than I've said over the last couple of years. The part I disagree with, I guess, I don't mind the president having an opinion on it, especially because in my mind, and maybe I'm misremembering here, but before the president spoke about it, when he saw the national polls, people were against the players kneeling. I think he saw that he was on the right side of the argument and jumped in. I'd probably go back to last year, or when the story first broke, to go back to Mayor's point, because he made a lot of good points there. The NFL's best move, if they could go back and do it again, would probably have been at the time of the incident, at the time when this first started, to adopt the NBA policy about as fast as they could. Because Steve Kerr, who was given credit to be this outspoken, forward-thinking guy for Golden State, was super critical of the NFL's approach. His league's approach is stand up and don't say a word. If you don't stand up during the anthem, you will be fine. Like theirs is much more black and white than the NFL's is. The NFL, and I read the people and heard from you guys who think this is the worst of both worlds, but it felt like they tried to give the players an opportunity. Look, you don't have to kneel in front of the anthem. You want to protest, just don't come out the field. We're okay with that. And if I could pick one thing they could have done, was way back when this whole thing started, if they had just said right there and then, when you're on the job, you will stand for the anthem. They probably got a pushback from the players, but they would have taken a hard line stance at that point. I think they did not do that this time around when they put this policy in place last week, because they know the players would not have gone for that. But I think Mayor made a lot of good points in his call. Kim in Boston on this issue. Good evening, Kim.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Kim. How are you?
Not too bad. So, I have to agree with you in the sense of I personally agree that people should stand for the national anthem, but that's my personal belief. As far as how Trump is acting, the thing is, he really should take a note from sports players. And when you play a sport, you learn that on a team, you're not going to always agree with somebody. You're not going to always get along with somebody. You might not like them, and respectively, they might not like you. But at the end of the day, you have a job to do. You want to win. You want to, you know, go out and play a good game. And, you know, you go home, and that's it. And President Trump is not acting like that. He's getting out and he's saying a lot of hurtful things to people, and he's not acting how a respectable businessman should or how a president should. That's fine if he has a very strong opinion.
Well, Kim, what he would argue is he got elected with that same sort of attitude, so why yeah. should he change just because now that he's president? Why should he be someone fake? I think you may not like it, but he seems pretty authentic.
I definitely agree with you. I'm not saying he should change, but what I'm saying is he should take a note from the players. You can be very strong about your opinions and even blunt. I'm a very blunt person. But I'm not going to go out of my way to be hurtful. You can still have a sense of tact.
Oh, Kim, he lacks, whether it's been the anthem issue or a dozen other issues, he lacks that word. There's a lack, especially on social media. Again, guy I voted for, guy I'll vote for again in 2020 at this point. He lacks a certain tact on social media. And for him was funny that Kim said, and call anytime, Kim, thanks for the call. The you saw it, but you took a take a page out of sports players' book, and it's about, you know, being a team and about winning. And he, the winning part is why he's doing this, because he thinks it's a winning issue for him. He believes the majority of Americans is on his side. They agree with him, and they want the same thing he wants, is the players standing up during the anthem. We are late. Our final break. Come back and wrap it up here Tuesday from Fenway Park.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Six nothing, your final. Red Sox shut out the Tigers in the first of this three-game series at Fenway Park. Game two tomorrow at 6:25. We'll join you as part of the pregame show here from the broadcast booth at Fenway with Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound for the Red Sox, looking to make it back-to-back wins here against the Tigers, maybe extend their lead in the AL East. Coming up here on WEEI to get you into your Wednesday best of with producer Kyle DeLuce, picking the best of the day. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., Kirk and Callahan are back. There is Boston Globe news for the guys to talk about. There is plenty of Trump news to talk about as well. And Evan Drellick, NBC Sports Boston, joins in at 8 o'clock, I believe, tomorrow morning. And then, yep, you're stuck with me. You're stuck with Tomasi in for Dale and Keefe tomorrow beginning at 2 o'clock. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Doug, here from Fenway Park. Best of coming up. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock with John Tomasi here from Fenway, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.